Olympus, I accept this message. Oh, wait, wait. That's not even the show.
It's not a show. It's not a show.
Hello, and welcome to the Bingeables podcast, a podcast for geeky TV junkies where we watch TV shows you just have to binge on. We're your hosts, Chinlin
and Isaac.
If this is your first time tuning in to our podcast, we thank you and we hope you enjoy this episode that we are about to dive into. And if you're a returning listener, please remember to leave us a review on your favorite podcatcher. So let us start on our Whatcha Bingin' segment. Isaac, I'm going to let you start off.
Okay, so I've been binging, as much as you can, WandaVision, which is up to episode 5 as of the recording of this show. And I've also been watching Mr. Mayor, which is a... So WandaVision is a... essentially the thing that's going to kick off phase 4 of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and it's about Wanda, and I mean I can tell you the first two episodes are very similar to 1950s and 1960s family sitcoms, but there is a twist and I don't want to ruin it for anyone, so I would say for that show, get through episode 3 before you decide you don't like it. Because it's a slow burn, and I like the fact that it's a slow burn, but it's really good. And so I definitely recommend that.
It's available on Disney Plus.
Correct. Then I've also been watching Mr. Mayor, which is an NBC sitcom with Ted Danson as the mayor of Los Angeles. And it's a nice, just, you know, sort of funny show. And it's an easy watch. There's definitely no like, oh, you have to wait till it gets good. It's just nice and funny to start with.
You know, what's funny is that NBC still wants Ted Danson on their shows. Because after watching The Good Place, I can't unsee Ted Danson as Michael.
Right.
So with The Good, with Mr. Mayor, like, I still think of this as like Michael, even though Ted Danson's character is not named Michael. He's got the same look and he's got the same clothes.
Yeah, it's true. He does.
The only difference is he has a daughter in this new show.
Right. He's a different person.
Well, you've watched more episodes than me.
I have. And I've also, you know, I saw Ted Danson, you know, way back in the day on Cheers. So, you know, it's definitely a new character. So I definitely don't see Michael, when I watch the show.
Maybe it's just visual. Like, he looks just like his character, Michael.
That's very true. He does. He does. Because he's wearing a suit.
He's always wearing a suit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I
don't know. It's just me.
So I can see how you'd say he looks exactly like the character. Because he does. He's got the same wardrobe and everything.
For me, I've been on a French TV show's kick. I love French shows. It's kind of on and off how often I watch it. It's not a regular thing for me. But recently I watched the Netflix French series Lupin. It's spelled Lupin. And it's starring Omar Sy, who is a really good actor. And basically his character is someone who is trying to get revenge on the wrongdoing of his father. So it's 8 episodes. It's a very good watch. I've watched it once and a half now. I watched the pilot twice. Actually, no, wait. I watched the pilot 3 times, twice by myself and once with Isaac. And you liked the pilot.
Yeah.
You just haven't finished watching it. But yeah. I think if if people don't mind like subtitles, it's a good watch. It's there is, I will say, content warning for suicide, images of suicide. It's gonna show up really fast in the first and second episode. But I don't want to give away too much. But I will say the first episode is a heist.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, normally I'm kind of down on shows that base themselves in reality because they, you know, normally just mess something up terribly. And for Lupin, it's like there's a little bit of that. But for the most part, it's a good show. There's nothing like super plot hole breaking, at least for the first episode that I've seen. So
I've watched Lupin, and I also binged on Call My Agents, or Call My Agent. I can't remember if it's plural. That's terrible, because I love the show. It's also a Netflix French series. The fourth season dropped recently, so I binged that in, 2 days. And, yeah, so that was the French shows that I binged on. And then, I don't know why, but about a month ago, I started having this urge to watch The Simpsons, like old seasons that I hadn't watched before. Because when I grew up, obviously I'm younger than Isaac, so when I was growing up, Channel 33 in Dallas, they already had so many reruns of the show going on, like every day at 6, 6:30. And when I was younger, I thought, oh, The Simpsons, this show is dumb. But then as I became an adult, I would watch The Simpsons and I would laugh my ass off. And I really do enjoy some of the parody episodes that they do on The Simpsons. So I've just watched it normally just because it's mindless and I don't have to pay too much attention.
So, you know, I was one of those people that thought, you know, The Simpsons after I stopped watching was probably, you know, The Simpsons after season 8 or 9. Wasn't very good. And I have to say, the stuff that I saw from the most recent seasons, I thought was actually very good. But I did see, because I do remember one episode that I was like, God, this show has just gone terrible. And that was the episode where they visited Italy. And then Chinlin was watching one today where they visited Africa. And I was like, God, this episode's awful too. I wonder if it's from the same time period. So I feel like there might have been a point where the show wasn't very good. But I know for a lot of the episodes that were, you know, season 20 and later, it seemed like they were doing a much better job. In fact, I would say that they probably hold up better than some of the episodes that are from the early seasons, you know, seasons 1 through 8, which are the ones that I, you know, would have considered the good episodes. Going back and watching some of those, I'm like, man, this is actually not as good as I remember. So anyway, I think that The Simpsons is a great show. And, you know, if you're looking for something to binge, there are tons of episodes. And even the bad episodes aren't terrible.
I mean, The Simpsons does have their share of controversy. So we're not saying no show is perfect is what I'm saying. Because I learned very recently that Smithers was originally a black character.
Yeah.
And of course, the whole controversy with Apu, I've known about that for a long time.
Most of us figured out that Smithers was originally black probably in the late 90s when some, they hadn't been airing the first season in syndication. In fact, we were all watching it on 33, even well before your time. It went into syndication pretty quickly, but at some point they got back around to showing episode 1 again, and we were all like, wait, Smithers was black? But that was the late 90s, and we were like, huh, interesting, weird, but not couldn't have a black Smithers. They were just like, I guess they just decided, nah, it didn't make a lot of sense. I don't know what the reasoning was there, but
yeah, I would Maybe later I'll look more into that, because I was shocked. I was like, wait, he was originally black, and they decided to make him a white character instead.
Yeah, but also, I mean, if you look at it like that, Marge was the lush drunkard, and Homer Simpson was the straight man for that episode.
Oh.
Like, the episode has them going to a company picnic, and Marge just gets hammered, and Homer is trying to, you know, control his drunk wife.
Huh.
So, like, I think there's a reason why they don't show that first episode very much, because it was really just like a sort of proof of concept, and wasn't necessarily meant to be like canonical, because it was going to be an episodic show, so canon wasn't really intended, and the only people that would have really seen it were people that had decided to videotape the first episode. So that would have been, you know, not super rare, but definitely uncommon back in, I think this show started in 89, so.
Okay, yeah. All right. Well, that was about 10 minutes of the beginning. We are here to actually talk about a Netflix animated series called Blood of Zeus. It premiered on October 27th, 2020. So, you know, just, what, 3-4 months ago?
Yeah, about 4 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
So this is our spoiler-free preview, where we've finished watching the show and we want to give you an overview and explain why we think geeks should watch it.
The official synopsis from IMDb is, a commoner living in ancient Greece, Heron, discovers his true heritage as a son of Zeus and his purpose. Here, I'm going to insert the season one trailer audio so our listeners can listen to it and also be enticed.
When the world was new, the gods defeated the Titans. As the last Titan fell, he swore a curse on the gods. And when his blood struck the sea, the giants were born.
The rumors are true. An army from the east descends upon us. This enemy is unlike anything we've ever seen before.
By the gods.
You must find the giant remains. It is the source of the demon's power. Burn the remains and the demons will fall.
What's your name?
Heron.
Join us.
If what she says is true, we should go.
You don't understand. It'll be our death.
What are you talking about?
You're no bastard. You're the son of Zeus.
Convert or die.
The fate of the world rests in your hands.
Help me kill Zeus, and all that I've promised you will be yours.
Do you really think this bastard can lead them?
I do.
Finish this.
So that was the trailer for season one of Blood of Zeus. Honestly, at this point, we have no idea if there's going to be a season two, but we'll talk about that in the spoiler episode. So why did we choose this show to binge and talk about? Me personally, I love Greek mythology. I ate that shit up growing up. I loved reading those stories. I mean, I wasn't like super into all the stories, but I liked most of it. And I think anyone who likes Greek mythology would enjoy something about Blood of Zeus. And I think it's very good drama, especially with the part of the villain. And it's, I think the timing of the release was pretty bad, because they released it basically the weekend of Halloween. And everybody is, you know, in the Halloween mood and they're watching Halloween movies or horror movies.
Right.
Or... So, like, they're not, like, this was easy to kind of just, what's the word? Fly under the radar.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think the show deserves a little bit more love. And it's also by the same animation studio that worked on Castlevania.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I have to agree with you. So I like the I like the Greek mythology, and in fact, you know, we've been playing Hades on the Switch for some time now, and you know, that's again a lot about this different sort of twist on Greek mythology.
Olympus, I accept this message. Oh wait, that's not even a show.
That's not a show. It's not a show. But I mean, you like the story is also good in that game, and that's actually what that game developer is known for. But for this show, you know, I wasn't so based on the premise, right? I wasn't necessarily sold, because I was like, well, I don't know. Ancient Greece, like, some stories can be pretty good and some stories can be kind of meh. We'll see how this goes. And I ended up really liking the show. So some of the plot twists were very well telegraphed, and so it's not, you know, entirely unpredictable. But
oh, don't you mean it's not entirely predictable?
Well, it is entirely, like, it's predictable, but not in, like, they're not super heavy-handed about it.
Okay.
Like, so you'll, the way that they lay it out, you'll probably figure out they foreshadow it enough to where you'll guess what's going on, you know, 10 minutes before they make sure that anyone that hasn't guessed knows what's going on, like, through the exposition or whatever. And if you don't, like, it still feels good, like, oh yeah, okay, that makes sense. And some of it, like, especially when you get to, I think, episode 6 or so, like, you're like, oh, interesting, because you...
That's towards the end.
Yeah, stories get retold from a different point of view, and you're like, oh, okay, because, you know, as the watcher, you're led to believe one thing has happened, and, you know, that's, you have to understand that is, like, the person that's telling the story might have a motive for telling it a certain way, and so it's very interesting to see that sort of dynamic play out, and I liked that.
And now we're going to dive in a little bit about the crew and cast. So the creators are Charlie and Vlas Parlapanidis. I might be butchering that, but...
No, I think that's right. Parlapanidis.
Yeah. They're the creators of Blood of Zeus. They were actually both writers for the 2011 film Immortals, starring Henry Cavill. And the movie was also based on Greek mythology.
Okay.
Yeah, so very clear that both guys love Greek mythology. And I don't know what else they've worked on, but that one struck out to me and, you know, was a connection to Blood of Zeus. And next we're going to get into the cast members, the voice actors. Derek Phillips is our protagonist, Heron. It's Heron, right? Right, not Heron?
I think it's Heron.
Heron?
Yeah. At least the way they say it.
Okay. Okay, yeah, it's got to be Heron because Heron.
Pretty sure it's Heron.
Heron, okay. Okay, Derek Phillips is our protagonist, Heron, and he's actually he's best known for acting in Friday Night Lights, and recently he's done a lot of voice acting in a bunch of video games, so Call of Duty, Black Ops, Cold War, The Last of Us Part 2, Rise of the Tomb Raider, and Fallout 4. Actually, pretty much most of the cast were voice actors in many gaming franchises.
Okay, do you want me to go next?
Yeah.
Okay, so of course, as we talked about in the description of the show, or the IMDb summarization, one of the other main characters is Zeus, played by Jason O'Mara. He's best known for Man in the High Castle and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Oh yeah, he is from Man in the High Castle. We watched that a little bit. He also voiced Batman in the Justice League video games, Justice League War and Justice League Throne of Atlantis and Batman versus Robin, and Batman Bad Blood.
Next, we have Jessica Henwick as Alexia. Jessica Henwick is best known for her role in Game of Thrones as one of the Sand Sisters. And she was also in Iron Fist and The Defenders as Colleen Wing. Colleen Wing, not Wig, Wing. And coming up, she will be in the Matrix 4 movie.
They're making a fourth one of those?
Hey, IMDb man, go check it out.
Hey, I mean, I trust that. It's just, man.
Next, we have Elias Tufexis as one of the antagonists, Seraphim. He was also in, Elias also voiced in many video games. The Last of Us, Death Stranding, Lego DC Supervillains, Assassin's Creed, Fortnite. And apparently he had many roles in The Expanse.
Oh, so he and Derek Phillips, the voice of Heron, both did voice acting for some of the same games, like The Last of Us Part 2 and Black Ops and Call of Duty Black Ops. Oh, wait, no. Phillips did Cold War and...
They must have known each other.
Yeah, I mean, maybe.
Yeah. And then... last but not least, we have Mammy Gummer as Electra. Mammy Gummer is Meryl Streep's daughter. And Mammy was in True Detective, The Good Wife. And she actually had her own show very briefly called Emily Owens, MD.
Interesting. I wonder what season of True Detective she was in. I saw the first two.
IMDb, man. IMDb. I didn't list out all of the voice actors, but at least the ones that you see for sure in the first two episodes. Was Seraphim in the first episode?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, definitely everyone, all the main people in the first episode I've listed. But yeah, that is it for the Blood of Zeus spoiler-free preview episode. Y'all, go check it out. It's only 8 episodes. It's a really quick binge for a weekend. We highly recommend it. And of course, you know, when you're done, come back in a week and we'll talk about the actual show itself.
Yeah, we'll talk about our reaction to the show.
Bye!
Thanks for listening to the Bingeables podcast.
Leave a review on Apple Podcasts, Podchaser, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
If you enjoy listening to our podcast, please consider giving us your support on Patreon for as little as $1 a month. Just visit us on patreon.com/bingeablespod. That's patreon.com/BINGEABLESPOD.
You can connect with us on Twitter at BingeablesPod, or you can email us at BingeablesPod@gmail.com.
Until next time. And the music you're listening to is Shaving Mirror by Kevin MacLeod.